You're here to make a difference. It's our job to help you do that. Welcome to the Impact Driven Entrepreneur Podcast, the podcast that helps you to build a thriving coaching company by becoming a thriving, impactful CEO. We do that through the Impact Formula methodology. And what this means is that you're going to be selling out your offers, scaling beyond one-on-one into group programs, and leveraging a team so that you can exponentially increase your income and slash your work week. It's time to experience the true income, impact, and freedom you deserve. Welcome back. Today we have Heather Doran. She is an amazing wealth financial specialist, coach, manifestation, all the things. And we're going to have a conversation, just an open conversation about financial planning, about setting measurable financial goals for your business. So welcome, Heather. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, everyone. So I don't feel like I have a whole title. It's always changing. So I'm Heather. I'm an accountant, or kind of been doing accounting for a long time. And so several years ago, I transitioned into doing my own business. And I have, like most entrepreneurs, pivoted and turned multiple different ways. And now I mostly help people with like their vision, their dream, and how to actually take tangible and non-tangible steps towards making their vision and their dream come true. So that's a little bit about me.
And yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the difference, because that dream, right? That's like the super long term, it feels like, for some people. Let's talk about it and even take a step back. Do you feel that some people have more of a long-term vision or a shorter-term vision? Like, how does that vision dream break down and work out when they're doing their financial planning?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there is pretty much two types of people, and it's really like how their brain thinks. It's so interesting that some of this kind of boils down to science and how their brain thinks, and then also patterns that they've learned throughout their life. So some people actually are really comfortable with big dreams. They're really comfortable with the long-term vision. They're very comfortable with the big overarching. And then some people are more comfortable, very specific, very detailed, very like minute things. And we talk about this in manifesting as well. So like people talk about, are you the, you know, big vision manifester? Are you like very specific manifester? Some people are comfortable in different spots. So the first thing is to really like understand, how are you most comfortable with doing like your vision, doing your dream, doing your planning, whatever. All of this stuff boils down to money. So whether you're trying to have a big vision for moving, for having whatever it is that you want in your life, and putting it down to smaller steps. And so really just understanding, are you a big vision and you're very comfortable with that? Or do you have a hard time with big vision and that stresses you out and you're more comfortable with the little things? So that's the first thing that I would say there is like, where are you at on the spectrum? And when it comes to like traditional long-term planning for your money, it's typically 1 year or more. One thing to remember that when you are doing long-term planning or long-term vision work or dream work or whatever it is, that typically what happens is your brain, your subconscious brain kind of your stress gets tripwired if you vision out too far. Because, and this is a lot of reason why people don't actually, like, they have this huge vision and they can't really see it come into play, because their fear around that, it's just too big for them. Like their brain and their fear responses, like they can't just wrap their whole like conscious and subconscious brain around it. And so this is where you have to be really careful when you're doing long-term visioning, is that you have like large overarching goals, but not too specific when it comes to the long-term goals. So like some of the things that I wrote down is having, a lot of us, we have the long-term vision to have a nonprofit, for example. Like that's not something I'm probably going to do within a year. It's probably, there's a lot of steps that have to come through to have a nonprofit. For example, like if you're a $100,000 business and you want to make it to $1 million, there's typically a lot of steps or more steps that have to happen that are probably going to happen over the course of a couple of years. It won't probably happen in a year if you're just starting your business or if you're just starting to hit that $100,000 mark, like 10Xing different numbers with it's your 10Xing 20, whatever it is, like having these like larger number where it's really good to have that and have that as an anchor for 1 to 3 years, even 10 years. But just to remember not to get too specific with that, because again, your brain gets really freaked out basically when you go too big.
I can totally relate to both of those. There have been periods for sure where I'm like, I need to see all the minutia details because I can't even see what the forest from the trees like 2 years out. And there have been times on the opposite end of that where I'm like, all I can see is like the 5 and 10 year vision. And then it can be very paralyzing of what do I do today? That doesn't seem like it's going to move anything. So I love that you broke it down to that. And I just want to add that I think where you are in your life or whatever is going on for you can totally swing you in different directions there as well. Have you found that for yourself?
Yeah. And this is where I love doing this like subconscious, like mindset work with people is it's not a one and done. I can't just necessarily give you a formula. Like I can give you steps, but like you have to lean in and feel into where are you at right now? Where are you at this year? If you've had some like major life changes happening, really reassessing, okay, last year, this is what I wanted, but do I even want that this year? And why do I want that? It's almost like the thing we forget to ask is like, why do I want this? We just get so stuck in the hustle and just so stuck in like, this is the goal. This is the goal. And we're pushing. And then we stop and we're like, well, I wanted more time. I wanted more freedom. I wanted more money. And I have that. Do I need to keep pushing? Do I need to keep doing that? Or is it maybe a season in my life that maybe I just maintain this progress. Maybe I just sit here. Maybe I just enjoy this. Maybe I take a couple extra vacations this year. I don't push as hard this year. So really reassessing like what season you are in your life and also what season you are in your business, whether it's time to just maybe flow a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, totally agree. That's so good. Are you open to sharing about the changes you made recently? Because I think that's super exciting.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I haven't like publicly talked about it too much. I just haven't been in very many like spaces to talk about it. At the beginning of 2020, the pandemic hit and I was just like in that place in my life where like things have to change, like something has to change. And I got really clear on what I wanted. I did not want to be working in my office anymore. I did not want to be working behind a desk. I wanted to have more of my own freedom. And what that turned into is taking on a lot of clients, doing a lot more work, doing a lot of things that I thought I wanted, but it was a lot more work. And so at the end of 2020, I really decided what is happening. What are the things that I'm doing that I don't want to be doing anymore? And what are the things that I want in my life that I want to be doing more of? And at the time, my husband had just retired from the military and we had done a bit of traveling. We bought a small travel trailer. We had started traveling around the country and visiting friends, visiting family, just seeing different things. And I was working remote, like things were just like working. And later in the year, I said, I need to stop. I was having a lot of pain in my body. I was sitting behind the desk too often. And so it sent me down this journey to like, I needed to get rid of a lot of things in my life. Like it was time to get rid of the stuff in my life. A lot of jobs and a lot of things that I was doing go. I let clients go. It was so hard. Like the inner work that it takes to let clients go and tell them this is not working for me was not what I did not expect. Like daddy issues came up, like just childhood shit came up when I went down that road to let things go out of my life. And I did some vision work and my higher self, my future self basically told me that it was time to go do the things I wanted to do, which one of the things was to travel more. And I just felt very called to sell, for us to sell our house. It was time to sell and to travel. And so at the end of August, we put our house up for sale and we basically gave away and threw away like everything that we owned. All of the furniture went to my son. We sold some of it. I gave away and threw away like 99% of my clothes, which meant my corporate clothes, which that was really interesting to let that part of my identity go. And I sold my vehicle, one of our vehicles. We ended up selling our smaller travel trailer and buying a larger one. And our house sold within 2 weeks of having it on the market. Now the market obviously was doing things, but the interesting thing about that is that when we were in the process of this transition, we had picked out the travel trailer, that the new fifth wheel that we wanted, and our house, we didn't have an offer on the house yet. And we were back and forth on, okay, so should we get it? And what if the house doesn't sell? And then we have this extra payment, and we're going back and forth on this whole thing. And I was like, you know what, let's just do it. Like, the house is going to sell. I just remember being in this place of the house is going to sell. It's just going to sell. It's just all going to work out. And just stayed in the energy. And so we picked up the travel trailer, and that night, or the new fifth wheel, that night we got an offer on the house, and we were like, it was a 30-day offer. And so from there we sold the house and we went on, we've been traveling since then. So, that's the short of the story.
Yeah, I love it. Was that something that you planned on? What was the turnaround time between this is something we could do till this is actually happening?
Yeah, so it was in May, June time. So I went to a conference in May and I had gotten the like internal hit, let's just buy a bigger camper and let's travel. And as I had been doing, I had been doing more meditations and I had been really thinking and processing and more, I was like, what if we just sold the house and we just started full-time traveling? And it felt really good in my body. And it just felt like, yeah, that's it. And so this is the interesting thing too, is that this is where people are like, oh, it just happened. But they're just like, oh, I woke up tomorrow and I just made $1 million. Like, it doesn't happen like that. The process for this to unfold was really that earlier that year or the year before, it's that I got really clear on the fact I didn't want to work in an office anymore. I didn't want to be working in corporate anymore. I wanted to be more in control of my schedule. So I started to make those things happen. And so that's like where we talk about these long-term and short-term goals, is like, you've got these long-term goals, but like short-term, what are you going to do to baby step yourself into it? And I think the biggest baby step things I did was we did do a bit of traveling in our smaller travel trailer. We decided, hey, we wanted to try this out. And that felt really good. I was able to work remote. That worked out well. Some people don't work well remote. I will say,
one of the biggest lessons for me from 2020 is I never want to work remotely ever again. I don't know how I did it for 7 years. I honestly don't know how I did it. And in August, I got the clarity and I went back into a hospital, and I am grateful for that. I love it. I love putting my suits on. I love like strutting into work with my high heels on and being the boss and doing all the things. I just love it. I am in my element. And like, I told myself after being at that job for a month and a half or so, I was like, I was recording an episode because to like finally reveal, hey, I've been at the job, because I felt a little dissonance there where, dude, I teach people to be like self-employed and now I'm going to a job. So I had to like, one, make sure I was going to stick with it to come out about what was happening. And when I was getting ready for that episode, I'm like, and I will probably never go back to working remotely or like exclusively working from home, because it's so much against what feels good for my body and for my rhythm of my life. And the only way that I would do it again is if I purchased my own office building and I had a big enough team where everybody was in the office. Otherwise, I will continue to work at the hospital where I can have that teamwork that I walk into the office. Like I have that experience every day. So
that is so fascinating. That is so fascinating because that's the thing too. I've even been thinking about like, how do I really support people? Especially like I've been really feeling the call to support people in the finance sector. Okay. You're an accountant, you're finance, whatever. Like, and I'm thinking like, okay, but do they have to leave and go start their own business? No, maybe that means that they get a different job that's more aligned to what the hell they want to be doing. And this is where we think like it's only one or the other. It's this like black and white, and it's not. Even if you keep your job, you can still have your job designed the way that works best for you, because on the other side, you have a supervisor, you have systems in place for whatever that type of working environment is. And even more, COVID has made it even more possible to have hybrid or whatever it is for people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I just love having a team, because it feels like, I love that energy of the teamwork piece. And so I remember when I was like by myself with one VA and how difficult that was for me. And I will never go back to that. But I think you just learn as you experience life, and you're like, okay, this is a yes and this is a no. And then you just continue on your path. But I love that you're like, it's not that easy black and white. And it's that continual clarity throughout, because even 4 years ago, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to make this leap. Like it took me getting clarity about so many pieces for me to get to where I was like, okay, I'm ready now. It needed all of the pieces to come together. And then for me to actually experience it, to be like, yep, I'm certain now, this is exactly what I need. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it's about the journey, right? It's not about getting there. It's about all the steps that you took along the way to like figure shit out. Because this is the thing too, is that people talk about being healed and all of this stuff. And one thing I've learned is that you're never healed. You're always healing. It's always a process that you're going through. And as I reflect on, okay, how the hell did I get here? I look at all the things that I did along the way that was like, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. And it was trying things out. Like we went and traveled. I worked while we were traveling. How did that work? And I even look back to like my college years. And a lot of my college, I was doing that. This was back in the freaking like when the end of the 90s, beginning of 2000s, when the internet was just becoming a thing. I had remote classes. Like I had these hybrid classes for like not being in the classroom, not being around all these people. And so it's so interesting to see 20 plus years later, like how this is playing out in my adult life, to where I'm not going into the office, I'm not going into the classroom, and it feels really aligned for me. And so that's where I think we made it to, or, at least myself has made it to the place where it just, yeah, it's time. Let's just do this full time.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some examples of financial goals, right? Because how can somebody know that anyone on the audio only version, I'm using like bunny ear quotation marks, because how can anyone really know if their business is ready to financially support them full time, especially given that I think that people get to this point where they're like, okay, I'm doing okay, and I'm putting in this many hours, but I know if I had that many hours, I could probably do even better, I think. And then it's super scary to take that leap in either direction, whether you're trying to like figure out how you're going to get out of a job or shift to part-time or whatever the thing is, maybe upgrade to a bigger house or do something else with your money. What are some examples of financial goals that you think would help people in that phase when they're trying to make those types of decisions?
Yeah. So what I look at is, what is the tangible things with your goals? And then what are the non-tangible things? So pretty much your tangible stuff is like all the things you can basically touch. So a lot of it's like your money, like the stuff that you want. So if you want a Gucci purse or a house or whatever, like those things you can actually touch. And then you have the non-tangible things. So those are going to be like your followers. Those are going to be like your email list. What are the numbers? How many customers are you serving? Stuff like that. When you're getting ready to make any type of transition or any type of upgrade, it's really looking at what has been working. What do I want to continue? What's continuing to work, or where do I need to make shifts to make like bigger numbers happen, or maybe sustain numbers or whatever it is. So it's really taking a look at both those tangible pieces and those non-tangible pieces. And so really looking at like, how does these non-tangible things lead to customers, lead to sales, lead to money? So who cares? Like, why do you care how many followers you have? Why do you care how many email lists you people you have? Like, why do you care? Because that leads to money, that leads to customers, that leads to the things. So it's taking a look at both of those things.
Yeah. So how, if you've been the listener of the show, we call that KPIs, right? Yeah. So like the KPIs, the numbers that precede the money, what are those key performance indicators that you might want to look at that will help you to predict money coming in the future? But again, that prediction is coming based on an informed system that you have used in the past. So I just want to be very clear, like you can't, I think one of my pet peeves is when people are like, my goal is to make a given figure. So let's say it's $10,000 a month. So all I would need to do is sell this many and that many, and then it's done. No, your numbers are not done at that moment, because you need to back it up 5 steps. How are you making that sale? That's your KPI.
Yes, exactly. And so that's where like these other numbers come into play. Like how many, you know, followers are you getting? How many leads are you getting every day? How many, what are the things that are leading to the sale of that item? What are the things that are leading to? So one of the things that I was thinking about before we were doing this was really like, what is the under 1 year goal? So something that you really want to have happen within that 1 year span. A couple of things that came up was like, for example, some people want to start a podcast, right? Some people want to grow their team, or like maybe they want to move down to 3-day work week. And so these are all things that are more achievable within that 1 year. So these are things that you can start to be very specific around. Okay, so if I want to have a 3-day work week, what are the specific things that I have to have the top tier? Like you've got the bigger vision within the 3-day work week. What are the things that have to happen within that system? Then go all the way down to the daily things that have to happen so that you can make that 3-day work week happen. What are the other numbers that have to support you and your team, if you have a team, to make that happen, to make those numbers work? Because it's so interesting. We talk about numbers all the time, but at the end of the day, like numbers are numbers. And they're also what they mean and what meaning you've placed behind them. For the example of the email list, you're really looking at, okay, if you've grown your email list, like how is that wielding you money? And I know a lot of us, we had the whole great shutdown of the Facebook, I don't know, a couple months ago or whatever it was, everybody was like, I need an email list. I need an email list. And it's like, why? Like, why do you need an email list? Not just, I need an email list. It's why do I need an email list? I want to work 3 days a week. Why do you want to work 3 days a week? I want to have a podcast. Why do you want to have a podcast? Like really picking the things apart of why you want to do that. And then breaking it down to what are the things that you have to do down to the day. When you're working, what are the things you're actually working on? And then, you know, Ariana talks about all the time, are those the things that are making you money? Are those the income producing things?
Yeah, I love that. So basically making sure that each financial goal is broken down enough into what we're doing on a daily basis to make money. Make sense?
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. And the last thing that we were going to talk about is how to start to set some financial goals, especially with it being the end of the year and people starting to look at their 2021. What are some things that people can do to set some financial goals for their business?
Yeah. So the first thing that came to me when I was writing about this was the word goals and how that seems to trigger a lot of people from whatever. And so the first thing I would say about that is really to acknowledge that maybe that word is triggering to you. So like if you're feeling a lot of anxiety, really just acknowledge that and don't judge it and possibly pick another word. Some people, I think it's manifestation babe or whatever, she talks about like your to-do list. She doesn't call it her to-do list. She calls it her like to manifest list. So it just feels lighter. So if the word goals is triggering to you, then really pick a different word so that it doesn't feel so heavy and stressful. The other thing I would say is that really to do some work around vision, like really vision, like what, give yourself the permission to say in the course of next year, like if I wanted anything to happen, what would I want to have happen in the next year? And really to look more the outside. So take the numbers away, take it's 100,000, whatever it is, but really just look at like vision, what it is that you actually want. Because what does the money give you? It gives you stuff. Like it gives you stuff, it gives you freedom, it gives you whatever. So what does that vision look like for next year? Do you want to have more time in the morning? For me, it was more time in the morning for to just sit and do nothing, not rush around to go to work. It was sit and drink my coffee, watch my dogs run around, and do some type of meditation or journaling or just like nothing type work. And so that was one of my like visions that I wanted to have happen. And so how do I step that back and say, okay, how do I start to make my mornings more free? How do I make my mornings less chaotic? For example, if something that you want to have happen is like to move to another house at the end of the year, maybe it's to work less hours in your job, or maybe not lose your money, but like work less hours. Okay. How does that actually happen? So it's really to start with, what do you actually want? Not how much money do you want? What do you actually want to have happen? What do you want your life to look like 1 year from now? And allow yourself the permission to say, yes, it's possible that I can have that next year. Yes, it's possible that I can be working less hours. Yes, it's possible that I can have whatever Mercedes or whatever car you want. Like really just look at what is, allow yourself the permission. Cause I see so often that women are just like, they put themselves last every time. And they're just like, oh, I want my kids to have this. And I want, no, like, how do you actually want your life to look like? How do you want to feel? How do you want your life to look and where you just feel really good? And that's where I would say that is the very first like key thing when you are starting to look next year and starting this like thing, because at the end of the day, like the money doesn't really mean shit if you don't actually do what you want to do with it or do what its intended purpose is. So it's really putting a purpose behind whatever the money or numbers goal is.
Yeah, I want to just give an example. So for me, when I got my divorce and started going through separation 2 years ago, one of the things that I struggled with was like finding out what I wanted versus what either society was trying to impose on me or what my parents thought I should want or have, or what my ex-husband thought I should want or have, or those kinds of pressures. And when I tell you, like, that was such deep and difficult work for me because I had suppressed it pretty much since I was a kid. And so it was something that was so difficult for me to do. And like acknowledging, I could not pick out flowers that I wanted because I couldn't even just such a menial, meaningless thing as picking out flowers that I had budgeted for these flowers. I knew I was going to buy myself flowers because I did decide that I really enjoy flowers. So I could decide that, but then I couldn't choose what type of flower I liked or what I wanted in the flower. It was so dumb of a decision, but like I had become so invisible that I couldn't even make those types of decisions because I couldn't discern what I wanted. And so I like think that this work is so important, so necessary, and really shows you who you really are. It is like the best work to get to do, which is that discernment and really making sure that the goals you want, and that, again, going back to what you said earlier, the why, like, why do you want this? Because if the reason you want most things is because society is telling you you should have it, you're embarrassed about what you do or don't have, or you think that somebody else wants you to have that, those are probably not the best reasons. And a lot of times that's why you can't get what you want, right?
Yeah. That's so interesting that you talk about that too, because I think one of the first things that I realized, like right after we sold our house and we were like living in our camper, I was like, wow, like every, like society is, oh, buy a house. And I'm like, right. I like just totally broke that like rule about, oh, you just have to have a house. And I was, and I realized, wow, I've been so busy deciding what I wanted that I didn't even realize that I was like breaking some of society's rules. And so this is where I guess the other side of it is like, kind of get to that place where you're just like, this is what I want. I don't really care if that's like fits like the society's rule for you. But I have struggled with that myself in, again, like giving myself the permission to say, yeah, it's okay for you to want X, Y, Z. Like, it's okay for you. Some people want to start living off the grid. Like, some people want to start like living out in nature and like living out like off of technology and stuff. And most of the world would say, oh my God, why would you want to do that? But it's giving yourself first the permission to say, that's okay for me to want that. And then to start to take the baby steps for it. And I think even with back to your point of leaving, you left the office, now you're back in the office. And it's like you said, it's like I teach people how to leave their job and like shame on me for wanting to go back, but it's not making yourself wrong. It's giving yourself the permission to say, this is what feels good for me, and continue to lean into that.
Yeah, exactly. That's so good. Yeah. And just being like yourself, no matter what, right? Like you're here, you're there, whatever. Also too, like nothing is ever permanent. Like I left my job,
oh my gosh, right?
For 7 years. I still went back to a hospital to work. Like
I know.
7 years later, like, who cares? Nothing is permanent. So it is what it is, right?
I know. And we think that we're making these decisions for like ever. It's no, you can change your mind. You can change your mind and it's okay.
Totally. Okay. All right. And so I love how you say about like reframing goals and even using different words if you need to. I've had my times where goals, like just even the thought of goals just was cringeworthy to me. I will like sprinkle in here, like for me, one thing that was so key. So I had Alon David from the 90X planner on my summit a couple of years ago. And he was on there.
I bought his planners for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. He was on the show and we were talking about goal setting. And I'm like, what happens if you don't reach your goal? Cause that was always like my big, oh my God, if I don't reach my goal, it means I'm like so bad and whatever. And this is what I was doing to myself literally every year. And I had set some big goals and reached them. But by this much, like so at one point I lost 80 pounds. I had made a goal to lose 100, which is, oh my God, this is so funny. So one time I lost 80 pounds. Another time I made $80,000 and I wanted to make $100,000. So there's something there where I'm like getting to literally 80% of my goal. And the amount of shame I experienced and the amount of like misery that I experienced for not reaching 100% of the goal is unbelievable. Cause I think like looking back at it, I'm like, dude, you freaking lost 80 pounds. That is not easy, right? Like you built $100,000 business with two kids under two at home, like $80,000 with two kids under two. Like it's just, you think about it and you're like, this is so dumb that I was so hard on myself, but my tendency was to just be super hard on myself, to criticize myself. And if it wasn't 100%, it wasn't good enough. And so I was on that interview with Alon and I was like, what happens if you don't reach your goal? He's like, what does that even matter? It was just so frank, like in the way that he said it, he was just like, what do you mean? Just set a bigger goal next time. That's all. I was like, what? I literally did that. I was like, okay, if I know I'm going to make 80% of my goal, let's just set a bigger goal. And it's like, why do we like be so hard on ourselves where it's literally all in your perspective? So I just want to share that about goal setting. If you're the type of person that can be really hard on yourself, even though you're like crushing it and you don't feel like you're doing well, right? Because of the internal dialogue. And I will say crushing it is totally like your perception of it. So if you get to 50% of your goal and you're like, oh my God, you're such a loser, you're only at 50%, you still made it to 50%. Heck, if you made it to 10%, you still made it to 10%. It's not about that number. It's about, are you acknowledging that you're moving forward? Or are you beating yourself up for still not being there? And for me, like when I dropped that whole dialogue about goals, where I was like measuring myself worth to the goal, that's when I could set goals again and it be not a big deal. So I just want to insert that reframe in case anyone is having problems with the word goal.
Yeah, that's so true. And what that brings up for me is to think about like, what is your self-sabotage, right? What's your like jam? What's your like core self-sabotage? For me, it's overwhelm all day of the week. If things start to whatever, like I just get sent into overwhelm, and that's where like my fear response will kick in, where my like subconscious will kick in and be like, see, I told you. It's almost that it's those programmed responses that we have years and years of. And so this is where a lot of people say, oh, but I can't change. And it's no, science like actually is proving the fact that you can change your brain. You can change your brain chemistry. You can change your thoughts. Like you can do the work to change and do the change around. This whole thing hit me huge earlier this year when a lot of people were talking about, I can't remember the specific name. I think it was called like 75 hard or something.
Oh yeah. 75 hard. Yeah.
So a lot of people were talking out there like, yeah, I'm going to do this thing. I remember looking at that going, there's no fucking way I have like at my current state of life that I have 2 40-minute sessions that I can literally carve out right now and to do these things. There was like certain things in there that I was like, I will just sabotage that. Like that does not light me up to do those things. And when I looked at that, I was like, wow, how many people are going to try that? And then they're going to like not be able to do it because they're like whatever, they have things going on in their own life or whatever. And so I literally was on a call with another lady. It was a group call. And she was like, yeah, so I like didn't do the thing yesterday. And I'm just like, forget it. And it's done. Well, and all with this
75
stuff.
Hard, because I did look into it. Every time you mess up, you have to start back at day one, which is just, it's punishing.
Yeah. And that's where I was like, wow. So you like literally, and so now the lady's like beating herself up. See, I'm a loser. Mm-hmm. I'm whatever. I couldn't do it. And it was like, because you put yourself into somebody else's system mm-hmm. that was never going to work for you. It didn't feel good for you to begin with. And so this is where, again, I go back to the whole coaching model is not for you to fit in somebody's system or just do somebody's system. It's for you to pick out the pieces of that feels good for you and make that work for you. Because that's where you go and you're like, oh, see, of course I wasn't, you know. And so this is where we go. This is goal setting, right? So we're like, oh, I'm going to follow this model. And this is how I get to $100,000. And you follow that model and it doesn't work for you. It doesn't align for your life. It doesn't feel good for you. You do all the things out of just doing it and you don't meet the finish line. And then you create a scenario where you are beating yourself up and you're just going down that hamster wheel again. I'm not putting down 75 hard at all. I'm just making the point is that you've got to do things, especially that or anything that's going to feel good for you. And it's going to align to your life.
Yeah.
Especially in these goals. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And I want to point out too, like, you can't just make yourself a little to-do list. So like,
oh my gosh,
whether you, I mean, you can make yourself a little to-do list all day long. But for me, because I've worked so much in coaching on myself, on all of this kind of stuff, if I was to do 75 hard, I wouldn't focus as much on those to-do items, because there's basically like several things you have to do every day or whatever. So I wouldn't focus so much on those to-do items as I would look at who is the person that I have to be and what is the point, right? Because the point is not to get all that shit done. The point is, who are you becoming? And I can share that because I've worked on discipline in various facets. So I worked on it. I was, first of all, by the time I was 3, I was already playing violin, and that's how I was raised. My mother was a music teacher, and I've also been really into my art and my drawing practice. And I'm like, if I become very disciplined in something, I know I get much, much, much better, because that's just the way the world works. If you are practicing something over and over, and my mom's a concert violinist, she was practicing 4 hours a day. I know what it takes. And I saw her do that as a kid. So when we look at, okay, this is what it takes, I need to be disciplined. How am I, if I am disciplined and I work on my discipline muscle, sure, then it becomes much easier to do something like 75 hard or any other practice that you're trying to work at every day, whether that be your business, whatever. But I don't think the focus needs to be the things you got to do. If your focus is only there, you're only going to get there. And yeah, so that's my spiel.
Yeah, that's so true. And this is the thing too, when it comes to doing, there's the work that we do with our numbers and our finances, but like the thing where we're talking about vision work and like really leaning into it, allowing yourself permission, all of that stuff, that's not a checklist item. You can't just check it off the list and go, oh, so one of my coaches says, you can drink your kale juice in the morning and do your meditation, but then in the afternoon, you go the rest of your day unconscious and you're just like, you feel like shit. You quote unquote checked the box, but then you still feel like shit. That's the same thing that we're talking about here. It's that you can't just check the box on really doing the work, really looking at the process, really doing the inner work that it takes to actually become this new person. You have to actually sit down and allow yourself to feel uncomfortable, to actually get used to doing it, feel into it, like all of those things that it takes to create, you know, sustainable change that feels good for you.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so with that, carry these things into your financial goals for 2022 and beyond. I can't even say that.
I know. I was like, it's what year
are we in? Okay, thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you and what you're up to, Heather?
Yeah. So on Instagram at the Heather Doran with the little spaces in between it.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been awesome chatting with you. Get daily mindset strategy and support to grow your business for free. Join our community, the Coaching for Impact community on Facebook. Just go to impactdrivenentrepreneur.com/community to join.